worship you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We magnify your glorious name. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you, Lord. You, God, who loved us, chose us, even before the foundations of the world. God, gracious Father, we thank you for your everlasting love. Thank you for what you're doing. You're always ahead, resolving issues before we even get close to them. Answering prayers even before we pray them. You are our peace. You are our healer, our provider. You're all that we will ever need. We give you praise. Have your way, O God, in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Well, thank God for every one of you that made it out here today. And well, thank God for those of you who are listening online. I was talking to one of our sons in the Lord this afternoon. And he's in Israel and said, I was watching on Sunday and started describing how the service went and what was happening. I said, all right. Well, praise the Lord. So those of you listening, wherever you are in the world, thank God for this medium that God has granted us to declare his purposes. He's manifesting his will in our lives. Before I get into the study this evening, I want to remind us that this Sunday morning, starting at 10 a.m., the 10 a.m. service, we embark on a new journey. We are Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Monday evening, Tuesday evening. We're going to be doing the Spiritual Warfare Conference. And the speakers are dynamic and you know, God is just going to do extraordinary things with us and for us. We give God praise for that. And the Lord has clearly spoken. This is not going to be our only spiritual warfare conference this year. We will have another one later on in the year. But right after the spiritual warfare conference, we're going to be having a conference first week of April called Good God Conference. That's the song we're just singing. God, you're so good. Good God Conference. So this Sunday, Spiritual Warfare Conference, a week and 2 days later, it will be the Good God Conference. And then there's another one. We're going to have one every month. Every month this year, there's going to be a dynamic conference and generals of faith around the world joining us in here. And I guess the Lord finally found a way to get his men here, because I wasn't willing to bring them here if you are not going to be in church. So God found a way. A better way. Hallelujah. So we thank God for his grace and his mercy, and thank God that we can gather again after, I guess it was a year ago, that the doors started shutting down for us not to be able to meet. And we've been in and out. But praise God, his word says he's the door, and we can go in and out. and find pasture. So that whether we're in church, gathered together, or whether we're in our homes, we were still getting green pasture. Isn't that amazing? Thank God. Hallelujah. You know, when the Lord was saying about shut doors and open doors at the same time, I'm saying, what are you talking about? You know, he said, you have the open door. I say, okay, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Then it's shut door. I say, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. Open door, shut door, it can be both. I guess it was both. Because yesterday we were ministering. Oh, my Lord. We're ministering to a great segment of Africa through a television program yesterday. And yesterday was very busy for the audio-video department. And, you know, God keeps on opening doors. And when he opens them, you know, they are right there with me. It's me and my shadow. You know, you can't do without the other. So I thank God for these men and women that have been with us and all the partners that are supporting the work of God. Because without you, can't do it. Without the people, you can't do it. Without the finances, you can't do it. So I thank God for everyone that is placed in this team. And that's what it is. That's the only way I can call it. It's a team. And in this team, there is no I. It's us together. Praise God. Amen. Well, let's get to the Word of God. We stopped in verse 4 two Wednesdays ago, I guess it was, because last Wednesday, I think we were in, it was leadership. Yeah, last Wednesday. Okay, so this is our first Wednesday together. No, last Wednesday wasn't leadership. Huh? Last Wednesday was when we first went through the book of Ephesians. Yes, that makes sense. Okay. That's when we got to verse 4. Hallelujah. And then the Wednesday before that was leadership. Okay. All right. Let's explore again. The Word of God tells us that God, in verse 3, says, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And we talked about that word, blessings, last week. It is the word eulogia, from whence we get the word eulogy. So it's about high words, powerful high words. And God is saying to us that he has blessed us with all spiritual words. Don't just think about it as blessing. I got blessed, hallelujah. I'm blessed and highly favored, glory be to God. And blessing being a thing, just for a thing, like a blessing. Oh, God bless me with a car. No. The blessing is in the words of God. Now, don't take that lightly. Because everything that you see here came out of the Word. True? The heavens, the earth, the fish, the trees, everything came out of words spoken. So when God blesses us with all spiritual blessings, bless words pronounced over our lives, he is invested in us all that we need to be sustained. And watch this. When God created, he created everything in a balanced state. We're exactly the amount of distance we should be away from the sun, not to burn up or to be too cold. If we're just a little bit away from the sun, this would be a frozen planet. If we're just a little bit closer to it, we'll burn up. Right balance. Everything that God does is balanced. It's in proper order. So when God speaks spiritual blessings into my life, into your life, they are balanced words. They are words that fit me. Let me say that again. They are words that what? Fit me. The spiritual blessings God will pronounce over your life are spiritual blessings that fit you. But the problem is, many times, we want other spiritual blessings that don't fit us. I want this. And God gives it to you and too much. Doesn't fit you. You know, David was going to fight Goliath and Saul put his arm on him and it didn't fit him. It couldn't move. But what fit him were the words of God. He remembered the stone for the blasphemer. So he picked five representing grace and he ran towards that man and released it. Poof! Bang! We need balance in every aspect of our lives. And I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive balance in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If your tires are not balanced, you start jumping all over the place. You think that your car is a basketball bouncing. You need balance. That's why once you fix those tires, you take it for balancing so you can ride smoothly. Being balanced causes you to move smoothly. You say, Pastor, you're getting all of that from with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? Yes. Because the words of God are balanced words. God did not create the next day until he had created what was necessary for the next day. Go read, look at it. Everything that was created in a balanced state. Every creature is there for balance. Did you know that? So when you talk about the ecology of a place, you're talking about balance. You're talking, it's balance, 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 balance. When one creature is too strong, it throws the whole system out of balance. So you have to kill some of those ones that have made, even though you like them, you still kill them off so that you have balance. True? I don't hear nods. True? Okay. I heard that. Balance. God has blessed me with all the spiritual blessings I need. The blessings that we need as a church, we have. Now, we have to let that blessing that he has blessed us with come forth. You know, the prophet says, what's in your house? What was in the widow's house was enough. What was needed to accomplish the purpose was in there. Now she had to borrow more parts to bring it in. But that which was in her house was enough to solve her problem. As a pastor, I've seen that happen over and over and over and over and over again. You know, if I did not know that to be true, oh, my Lord, I will color my hair, and by the time I get home, it will be white because of stress. But I learned, God knows. He knows what I need. What am I fretting and worrying about it? He knows exactly what we need for whatever it is that we've got to do. God knows what we need to take this city. God knows what we need to take this country. God knows what we need to take our world. And we receive all of those spiritual blessings now for His glory in Jesus' mighty name. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And it is where? In Christ. Oh, that's a clincher. It's in Christ. So if I'm not in Christ, I guess you lost your wrong address. Did you get your mail? No, I sent it. And I see it is delivered, but I didn't get it. What address are you at? Oh, I'm at my friend's house. Oh, I sent it to your house. I didn't send it to your friend's house. I sent it to your house. You know, there are so many believers that are not operating in the blessings of God because they are not in the right house. Yeah, not in the right. You know, there are people whose address is right here, under this canopy, this grace. But they want to be so smart. You want a different address. If God has not given you a new address, your mail is going to be going to the address that He knows, because God is not going to follow your foolishness. Hallelujah. He's not going to follow your foolishness. You're not going to make God bend to your lie. He's the boss, and He decides what the truth is. That's why He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Because He has to break that backbone of pride and disobedience that started in the garden. And He continues to do the same. God doesn't bend to anybody's direction. He knows what He wants to do, and He does what He wants to do. That's it. So the blessings are in Christ. How? According as He hath chosen us in Him. According as He hath chosen us in Him. According as He has chosen us in Him. So we've been chosen in Him. And how He chose us in Him is the determining factor of how He released the spiritual blessings upon our lives. You know what He chose you to do? I guess we're not going to go past verse 4 today. God knows exactly what He chose you and I to do. And He has provided all the resources necessary in Him. I choose you to do this. God chose you in Him to do certain things. And then you decide that God, who chose you to do the whatever it is that He chose you to do, you are not going to do that, but you believe you're chosen, but you're going to do whatever it is you want to do. Give your head a shake. According as He had chosen us in Him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Before the world had a foundation, God chose you and I. For a very particular reason. And 2 Sundays ago I talked about this. The real purpose of the Lord coming. The number one, there are different reasons, but the number one reason was to reveal the Father. And then He tells us about the Father and about the Father being love. And we were chosen before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, separated unto God, to be without blame without blame before Him in love. Love as an act, but also love as a person. God wants us to be faultless when it comes to the act of love and to the person of love. I want you to be blameless before God. He chose us to be blameless. He chose us to be holy. He chose us to be in love. That's extraordinary. Now, if God said, "Let there be," and it was so, and God says that we should be holy because He is holy, that's a heavy statement. Then I must understand that when God is talking about holiness, it's not holiness based on what society says is holy. Well, as a society, we've decided that this kind of a lifestyle is now okay. So we agreed. That doesn't change God. What we think doesn't change God, doesn't change God's standard. Doesn't matter which way you want to twist it. God says, "Be ye holy because I'm holy. Be holy like I am." Not holy based on, you know, in my society, they marry 12 wives. I only married two, so I'm holy. I'm good. Only two? No, I'm not like him. He's got 10. Forget about that one over there. That one's got 20. Oh, Solomon. Ay, ay, ay. That is not God's definition of holiness. Not, I'm better than you. Holiness, as far as God is concerned, is you are like me. Why is it that you're going to be like me? Because I am going to be the one living out me through thee. I'm going to be the one living the life through you. So you're well able to do what it is that you need to do because you are aligned me. Now, when we talk about being chosen, we must understand that being chosen is about also being related to accepting the fact that you're chosen. If you don't accept the fact that you're chosen by God, God can't do anything about that. Everything has to be received by faith. You know, there's a word that we use often every Sunday. It's the word offering. The word of to give an offering or to make an offer. Do you know, because you made an offer doesn't mean that I have to accept it. You know that? If I handed you something and you decide that you don't want it, I offered it, but you didn't want it. Same thing with being chosen. I can choose you, but if you don't choose me, same difference. I can say to Mama, I choose you to be my wife, and she says, not on your life. No, we're not doing that. You don't qualify. I chose her, but then she decided not to accept. So when God chooses us, it is from His position. And from His position, He says, I chose you in Him. I didn't choose you outside of Him. I didn't choose you based on you doing whatever it is that you think you want to do. I choose you based on my standard. I chose you. You qualified. You accepted my love, the love of my son. Therefore, I chose you. I chose you in him. How did he choose us? He chose us all when he decided that Jesus will die on the cross. God so loved us. He died before the foundation of the earth, for the foundation of the world. Christ died. Even before he came to that cross, about 2,000 years ago, before the world was created, Christ died, the godly for the ungodly. We were chosen then. To be holy, to be like him, to be without blame, faultless. That's a powerful word. To be without blame. To be without blemish. Amomos. No fault. No cracks. Faultless. No weak spot. Rather than look at ourselves, this is important, hear this. Rather than look at ourselves and our unholiness, rather than look at ourselves in our blemished state, that is a passage that we need to take a hold on and say, God, you chose me in you to be holy, therefore I am holy. You don't go to God talking about, oh, I messed up, I made the blah, 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 blah. Shh. You go believing that what he said, just like when he said, let there be light, there was light. God, you chose me before the foundation of the world to be holy. I am holy. You chose me to be blameless among us. I am blameless. There's no fault in me. No mess up in me. I am just like you. The devil says, liar, liar, burn in fire. And you say, no, you are the liar, liar that's going to burn in the fire. Because I agree with God that what he said is the truth, and I am becoming everything he said. By your confession, salvation. Is that what the Word of God says? It is the words that are coming out of your mouth that are formulating the reality of who you are becoming. Say, you believe in your heart. You confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at this statement in Romans 10. I just knew it. We're not going to get out of this for. In Romans 10, Bible tells us about the work of salvation that God has put in place for us. And actually, let me just take it read real fast from verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's my heart's desire for them, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what? Knowledge. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. No. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, because they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're going about trying to make up their own righteousness, have not submitted. Look at that. They've not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They're trying to be righteous, but God has provided the righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness which is of God. They're trying to still do it by works. I did this and I didn't do that. I did this and I didn't do that. He says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. The end of the law. Now, when we're talking about the end of the law, if we're talking about the end of rules and regulations. But don't fool yourself and think that the law is less than the righteousness that God is talking about. No, 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 no. The righteousness God is talking about supersedes the law. The law says, they smack you on one side, turn the other, smack them back. Righteousness comes, the word of grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus. He says, smack me on this side, turn the other side of the cheek. They ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. The law says you had to actually commit the act of adultery physically. The grace statement says, if you look lustfully with your eyes, you've already committed the sin of adultery. So it is not a, you know, grace is not watered down. They are busy trying to do, but the law was placed there to show to them that they cannot even do the least. It's like putting paper on the floor and say, jump over it. You can't even jump over the paper. Now God comes in and says, okay, this is real. This is the real standard. It's not the law. It's me. Be ye holy like me. Now how are you going to do that? You can't even keep the small one. Now it's this. God says, that's why you now need to depend on me to give you flight, the ability to jump over. But false grace tells you, live any which way you want to live. It's okay. The only cost to you is the consequence. Excuse me? The consequence, that's why Jesus had to come die on the cross? Just because of the consequence? He can just make that decision. Well, none of you are going to hell, but you're going to experience, you know, some serious pain because of what you did. And after you've gone through that, you can come to heaven. It's easy to forgive. But the issue is iniquity, the pattern of defeat that we've embraced in our life. And God came to change all of that. Amen? Then verse 5, it says, for Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You're living by the law, you're doing the law, you're going to live by those laws. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh, notice that, speaketh on this wise. And then tells us, first of all, what it does not say. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead? Don't say, who's going to come down and help me? Or who's going to come lift me up? He says, don't say that. He says, well, what do you say? He says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That has nothing to do with I did not commit this sin and I did this right. And no, it says start there. Confess that Jesus is Lord over your life. What does that mean? That whatever he now tells you to do, that you do. And that is very important, that you do what God says for you to do. Because he's Lord over your life. He's Lord over your finances. He's Lord over your health. He's Lord over your relationships. He's Lord over every aspect of your person. Someone did some work for me not too long ago, and they sent me the invoice, and I sent them a payment, and they said, you sent me the wrong amount. This is what I charged, but you're paying me this. I said, yeah, it's okay. Why? Because that's what the Lord said to give to you. It's what the Lord said. And was way more than the person asked for. That's what the Lord said. Give this person this. Write a check for this person. How much? That amount. That's what you do. God told you. Guess what? As you're obeying God, God is going to speak to somebody. And that person is going to obey God. God might just speak to somebody, take care of that person's mortgage, just pay it off. Ask them, how much is their mortgage? Pay that whole thing off. Gone. One shot. You're going to work for another 20 years to pay it off. But because you obeyed God, you know, by just giving somebody a dime, now God takes care of this big one. Yeah? He's Lord. He's in charge. That's how I got $60,000 off of my first house that I bought. Paid $60,000 less. And somebody's living in the house that wants to buy the house that was going to pay $40,000 more than I'm paying. And they kicked that guy out and I'm paying less to get the house. Why? God told me just a year before, I want my money. I said, what money? The one in that account. So I emptied my account and I gave it to God. Until this day, I hear from God, this is what I want you to give. And I thank God for that, because with this COVID nonsense that's been going on and all the mess that's been going on with years of not receiving regular wages, I have not suffered a moment. I have done more, because God knows how to shovel things, because you obeyed him. He is Lord. That means he owns you. I'm owned by God. You know, like you say, a landlord is a man who owns a land. Jesus is my Lord. That means Jesus owns me. And if he owns me, he's responsible for me. You know, my car over there, I've never seen that car go wash itself. I go wash the car. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's properly oiled and properly maintained. God does that for you and I. Amen? Hey, don't eat that. Hey, but your word says, if I eat anything that is deadly, it shall not hurt me. But I just told you, don't eat it. You eat it, you die. That's like me being in India, and the Lord says, don't go to that crusade ground today. I said, why, Lord? Said, because those Hindus are there, they're going to kill you. They come in to kill you. Why? Because Miracles are happening and they are very upset. I said, so God, what do I do? He said, go into the countryside and preach the gospel. So I went to my host. I said, God said, I cannot go to the crusade ground. But they're expecting you. God is doing miracles. How can you do this to me? What am I going to do? I said, I don't care what you're going to do. I know what I'm not going to do. God said, don't go there. That's what he said. Don't go. So I'm not going. He said, so what do you want to do? You're going to just sit here? I said, no, no, no. Give me a vehicle and send me into the country. God says he has people ready. And from that morning till evening, I think I ministered in four different places. And churches are started at 10 a.m. the morning. We're waiting at 4 o'clock in the evening for somebody God told them was coming. Isn't that incredible? God is Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. He knows how to take charge. Amen? That's why you never, you know, never live in fear, God. He said, I will build my what? Church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail over the church that I built. So, if he says he's going to build his church, I said, build your church. That is, I'm not responsible to build it. He's responsible to build it. And he says, the church that he builds, the gates of hell, the government of hell, shall not prevail over it. Doesn't mean they won't try, but they will not prevail. Which means I'm going to be the one who prevails. Hallelujah. Because I have a revelation of who he is. That he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody shout hallelujah. What's that? You've got what it takes. It's inside of you. It's inside of me. What it takes to live victoriously, what it takes to live successfully, what it takes to live in a dimension of divine health and glory. It's inside of me. It's inside of you. And therefore, there's no reason to be discouraged. When I look in the natural, I have all kinds of reasons to be discouraged. You know, all kinds of reasons to just bury your head. I give up. But there's all kinds of reasons in God never to give up. I was doing something. I pay attention to what's happening every day. Even when people think I'm not looking, pay attention. And I had a dear son today doing some work for me, helping me to set up some stuff. And so I was in the backyard with him, and I had to scoop up some snow to make room for him to do what he needs to do. And on the surface, it looked like it was going to be an easy thing to do. So I had to get some pick or whatever it is you call it to break through the ice. And he came and was shoveling away. And we started from an easy part and we came to a little patch that I was busy working on. This part was really hard. So hard, I said, this thing is going to give me blisters. And I sure did have blisters from it. I'm going at it. And I wanted to quit. And the Lord says to me, you're not a quitter. I said, I know I'm not a quitter, but my hand is hurting me. He said, it's not about quitting. It's about resting. He said, never quit. Rest. I said, never quit, rest. Never quit, rest. So I rested. And I went at it again. And now I was in this little patch that was left was not necessary anymore. But what was necessary was what I heard in my spirit. Never quit, rest. So I'm going to finish this thing. Even though we don't need to do this part anymore, the part that we needed is already taken care of. But I was hearing, never quit, rest. So I rest a little bit and I go at it again. I go at it again. I don't know who that word is for. But when I heard it, I didn't know when I was going to need it. But I knew I had heard something that was very simple, elementary, but deep. Maybe that word is for you. Feel overwhelmed by this thing or by that thing. God was even interested in some unnecessary thing. Doesn't go add or subtract anything, but it was an issue of lordship. It was an issue of whether I'm going to hear him and obey. Is my hand still hurting? Yes. And if you are looking at me doing that, you'll be saying, what is he wasting his time doing that for? That is totally unnecessary. No, but it was a learning moment. It was a teaching moment. I was getting more stuff by doing something that seemed so unnecessary. And generating a blister. I've not had a blister for, I was driving, I said, something is hurting there. And look, there was a blister. Just for show for tonight. I know by tomorrow this blister must leave my hand. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today. Everything God has is already in you. The word of salvation is already in you. And the final verse. For with the heart man believeth. With the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Say it. Say it. You just say it. I'm not addicted to pornography. I'm not addicted to drugs. I'm not addicted to lying and whatever. I'm not a liar. I'm not a thief. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You say it out of your mouth because you have him. You believe in him. To have the righteousness to make the declaration. And as you're saying it, even though every time you're saying it, you're saying, you're lying. You just messed up and you what are you talking about? Just keep on saying it. And just like God said, let there be, there will be what you said. And it will not be hard. Amen? It will not be hard. This is, let me put it this way to you. If you're not a drunk, and there is a liquor store right at the corner, and a block later there's another liquor store, and then there's a drug store, you know, where they're pushing marijuana and cocaine and whatever, and it's all legalized, but that's not you. Will you be tempted to go into any of those places? No, because it's not in you. It's not in you. You can have 20 billion of them. I don't care. It has nothing to do with me. That's how it is with living an upright life. You're not out there saying, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. You just live your life. You don't pay attention to any of that. Anything that you're paying attention to is a trigger in you to say, God, what is it that is in me that has been attracted to that. Jesus, our Lord, said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Absolutely nothing in me. So he can't collect. You know, that's the reality of your walk and my walk in God, which ends up being this, that living an upright, righteous life is the easiest life. It's easier. It's easier for me to live the way I'm living today than it was when I didn't know the Lord. Because when I didn't know the Lord, I had to hide to commit my sins and try to remember who I said what to. And when I said it, what time did I tell them I was going to be there? And what time did I show up? All of that struggle is off. So I can relax. If I don't remember, I don't remember. It's a good life because God is living it in me and living it in you. We don't have to struggle. My burden is light. Take my yoke. It's easy. My burden is light. Oh, living this Christian life, it's very difficult. Ask yourself the question, what's inside you that's making it difficult? What is it? I had a dream the other day, and I woke up, I said, that is not me. I don't do that. So I said to the Lord, exactly what is it that is playing inside of me that brought me to a place where I was doing something that I know in my conscious level I will not do? What is it? I need you to deal with that thing and get rid of that thing because I'd never again want to have a dream like that dream. Me acting crazy. No. God is flushing it, and God helps us, everyone. He says to Cain, watch it. The sin at the door. If you do the right thing, you're going to be okay, but watch it. And God gives us warnings. If something, you know, you've seen something. And so I said, Lord, what is it? Do you know what he said to me? It was I was watching somebody died in Nigeria, and they had this big party. The greatest celebrities were there. Everybody that, you know, the movers and the shakers were there in that party. Not that they were doing anything wrong, but the Lord said, there is a spirit you were watching and you got contaminated by spirit, by all of these celebrities, so to speak, and that's what attached itself to you, and that's why I had to warn you. It's not that that's in you, but if you had not shown it to me, then one day I find myself doing the wrong thing and say, what happened? As man of God, what happened? Defilement. Defilement. That's why I have to be careful. Every one of us, just be careful. Ask God to reveal to you what needs to be revealed. So you and I can continue to stand because he has chosen us in him to be holy, to be blameless. Hallelujah. Before him in love. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your eternal word. And Lord, oh God, we are asking today that there be a manifestation of the realities of truth that you have released to us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. And Lord, oh God, that we'll live holy that will live, oh God, with purity. Lord, oh God, pious lives, lives that honor you, that glorify you, that our actions, our attitudes, the way we carry ourselves, the way we speak, the way we act, oh God, is glorifying to you. That we, oh God, do not become stumbling blocks to other people, neither do we stumble. But Lord, oh God, that your grace sufficient empowering us is causes us now to live the life of God, the life of a good God. Heal us in every area. Touch our families. Touch our children. Touch our wives, our husbands. Touch, O God, fellow believers that we fellowship with. Touch, O God, your church, your chosen ones, that we will be, O God, the ones that are truly fruitful, ones, O God, chosen and ordained of God to bear fruit. And that, Lord, O God, that our fruit abides, that when we ask the Father anything in your name, he may give it to us. We give you praise that you are expanding our horizons. And Lord, oh God, we just want to thank you right now for the meetings coming up, oh Father, this weekend. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that you are going to move mightily in our lives, that as we start, oh God, these meetings, Father, oh God, that there will be a victory that is manifested in all of our lives. We declare judgment on all the forces of darkness, on principalities and powers, on rulers of the darkness of this world, on spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Let the judgment of God strike, oh God, this day on every one of these entities. And may they be subdued under the lordship of your everlasting name. That we, oh God, your people might rise up and shine, for your glory is risen upon us. We are a testimony of your awesome power. We break the backbone of the enemy. Lord, oh God, the forces of darkness that have operated in this area, Father, oh God, to slow down the process of that which you have ordained. Lord, oh God, today we break them up in the mighty name of Jesus. We take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and we hack everything that needs to be hacked. And Father, in Jesus' name, we declare, oh God, that this day, this island belongs to you. This city belongs to you. This province belongs to you. This country of Canada belongs to you. We plant the flag of the kingdom of God, and we reverse every legislation that has stood against your will and your purpose. Wherever they have operated, Father, we are bringing the hammer of judgment against such a thing. The verdict is in. The verdict says, we win in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Well, let us honor God with our giving. Honor God with that which God has spoken to you. I cannot say that enough. When you learn to hear God concerning your giving, it sets everything in your life in proper order. Because if I know it to be true, I believe this to be true, that if you can hear God when it comes to finances, concerning your giving, you hear God in every other place. If you can hear God concerning giving, whatever the giving is, you hear God everywhere else. So today, hear the Lord. Do what God says. Don't do it by your sight. Do it by the eyes of faith, the hearing of faith. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. And I'll see you on Friday for a powerful time of prayer together. Good night. Love you. Amen. And give me the people on Zoom.